This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast
with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
With Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
Now, one of the big topics for accountants at the moment is making tax digital. It's going to hit you globally at some point. Martin, our friends at Free Agent have got something to help with here.
Yeah, I mean, if you're an accounting practice, you'll have already had the conversation at some level about how do you get your practice ready to conquer making tax digital? Well, at Free Agent, they've got a 30-minute consultation waiting for you. Each session is designed to help accountants and bookkeepers get their practices ready for the next stages of making tax digital, or MTD. And Free Agent's in-house experts will offer advice on how to segment your client base, choose the right MTD compatible software for your practice and clients, and train and educate the team and clients on the upcoming changes. After your consultation, though, you'll receive a tailored action plan with the next steps for your practice. So, Rob, for listeners who want to get that consultation and the tailored report, where do they go?
Go to freeagent.com/AIP for the Accounting Influencers Podcast, freeagent.com/AIP, and they can book that consultation today.
Now it's time for the expert interview. And as you know, I get the privilege to sit down with people whom I regard as being legitimate experts. They haven't necessarily got the great book out that everyone looked at and never read, but what they do have is an irrefutable third-party bank of social proof that what they know or what they can do has worked in accounting practices all over the place. It gives me great pleasure to welcome Dermot Hamlin, who is the founder of Langdon Hamlin. Dermot, welcome.
Hi, Martin. Very privileged to be here.
The feeling is mutual. What is a Langdon Hamlin? What does it do? And why should the practitioner audience listening to this care?
Yes, a great question. So, Martin, I've actually been working with the profession since May the 1st, 1996. And that was the day that I joined a small software house called Iris Software. So I was number 44 on the payroll, 3 million revenues. And I had a fantastic 10 years there, which, you know, took me from being a boy to a man. In kind of selling terms, ended up as the corporate sales director, went through two, if not three, VC flips. And had a thoroughly entertaining and educational time at Iris. When I left, it was 35 million revenue, give or take, and about 250 people. So rapid rise. If we weren't doing kind of 20% year on year, then people wanted to know. And obviously, once the money men get involved, that's a very different conversation to when it's a privately owned business. And then since then, I've worked with a couple of other software houses at kind of director level. But for the last 10 years, I've been working for myself, self-employed. So I think it was early November, 2011. Even with my limited maths, I can work that out. That was 10 years ago. And I help both vendors and I help practitioners. So I've got the attention span of a kind of goldfish. So I like to sit on both sides of the table. So I help practitioners with the move, from being a legacy firm to a firm which is taking advantage of all of the opportunities which present themselves in the current environment. And then I also help vendors with their go-to-market strategies. Quite often that's been people who are launching into the UK. So I spent the best part of 2 years with your good friend of mine, Colin Dunn and Rob Nixon of Panalytics, launching them back 2015 to 2017. And then, helping some of the vendors, be that in the app environment or other audit tools, launch into the UK.
Excellent. So there's a huge amount to unpack there. So I'm going to go to one particular thing. Go-to-market strategy for vendors. I think we understand that at face value. But you mentioned helping legacy firms take advantage of what's coming next. What do we mean by a legacy firm?
I suppose one way you could argue that that's quite a harsh description, but I think it's people who have realized that they've got to move from where they were to take advantage of what is a modern firm, what does a modern firm look like, or indeed, what is a digital firm? Everyone uses this phrase, we're a digital firm of accountants, but nobody really has defined that. And once you start asking some, questions around that, one person who's got a zero badge, on the front door, will have, 100% of their clients on Xero and, Dext and utilizing some of the apps that are available. And others will have kind of, barely unpacked the software from the metaphorical software box. But both can, call themselves a digital firm. So I think it's working with firms to actually make sure that they've got some people strategies in place, that they've got a vision of where they as a firm are going. And I think that should be very firmly driven by what the owners want to get out of the business. You know, it's your kind of toy, so you're allowed, entitled to play with it how you want. And obviously that's got to be very different from a sole practitioner through to, you know, I'm working with a firm who've got kind of just around about 100 people, you know, working for them. The thing that interests me about accountancy is just the sheer breadth and kind of the firms that there are. You know, whenever you start a business, doesn't matter what sector you're in, you've got to, you know, scramble and hustle for those first few years to get clients on board and then get to a level of income that you're happy with. And then you can work on whatever you want to work on. So with some people, they might want to, you know, have a good income stream, but take the excess money to build themselves a property portfolio, which, you know, several accountants do, and that's great. I think that's really interesting. Or others might, you know, get in really deep with some firms that, you know, come knocking on the door. Or, you know, you can focus in certain areas, you know, R&D, or you can dig deep into tax. So it's just the sheer breadth of opportunity that exists, and the fact that, you know, we might have 35,000, give or take, or our good chum Steve Cox would probably say there's a lot more than that, accountancy firms in the UK. But, you know, they're all very different.
2 points I want to bring out of what you just said there. You mentioned, you know, that for practice owners, it's their toy and they have the right to play with it as they see fit. So they need to decide what they want out of it. Yet you and I both know that if we, and it's such a broad church, I agree, the term accountants, but if we go to the provincial firm and go to the leadership of the provincial firm and ask them point blank, what do you want out of the practice and by when, they can't answer that. So why? What's your diagnosis? What's your analysis on why something as simple as deciding what I want out of the practice and by when isn't a standard behavior within an accounting firm?
I think it comes back to probably that cliche, and I know you asked me to keep away from cliches, but it's the fact that accountants are great at helping other businesses have their things in order, but they're never very good at working, you know, on their own businesses.
I was monitoring a Facebook conversation. They were asking, you know, should we make the client fit our mold and one size fits all and that one size is zero? Or should we be multi-platform in order to serve the client's needs? Which side of the fence do you sit on?
Well, I think it depends upon the, you know, the size of the firm. For a smaller firm, you know, let's say 1-2 partners with, you know, just up to 10 people, then there are some quite big efficiency benefits to them to just choose one platform, whatever that platform happens to be. And, you know, that comes around the fact that there's, you know, shall we say, one set of updates to percolate throughout the team, you know, to be shared over a lunch and learn or training sessions, however the firm does that. There's only one vendor conference to go to, be that, you know, QBC Connect or Xerocon or Iris World. There's also, I think, the often kind of mentioned benefit that if you are stuck, you know, you can't remember how to do something in whatever software product you are using, you can just turn to the person next to you, tap them on the shoulder, and they'll be able to tell you. I think within slightly larger firms, then you should create teams, you know, so you'll have a team that will focus on vendor A, vendor B, vendor C, and see that through. But, you know, the tools that we've talked about, and they are tools, you know, much as I love software, I've worked in software for, you know, most of the 25 years. So I must admit, some of the passion and tribalism that we see in the current environment does amuse me.
Yeah, the blue or the green. If we're talking about smaller firms, and you mentioned there that for correlation purposes, for efficiency purposes, when they are 1 or 2 partners, when they've got maybe up to 10 staff, then it's good for them to have one system. And therefore it keeps the whole thing coherent. That I understand completely, and that argument I completely understand.
Yeah.
Do you think that risks, or does that prohibit growth as they try and break out of being 1-2 partner, 10 staff, and they try and take a step up the ladder in the type of prospects they attract?
I think once you've actually said to that particular client, look, you know, we use software ABC, which just doesn't happen to be QuickBooks, and, you know, you would be an exception rather than the rule, so you're much better off going to find, you know, a QuickBooks provider, then it's probably much easier to actually do. I think with everything in life, that the more you focus down on stuff, then you become better known in that, you know, software ABC world. And therefore, it's by being well known in software ABC world that you attract far more people than you would actually, you know, turn away by trying to be all things to all men.
What do you enjoy? What do you get involved in? Where do your passions lay? Who is Dermot away from the accounting world?
So I love sport, but I live about 50 yards now from a sports club, old traditional sports club in the UK. So that means rugby union, cricket, bowls and squash. So I've been playing squash for a long time. Can't say I've ever been particularly good at it, but I do hold the quite unique title that I've actually had a squash ball in both eyes on separate occasions, which is not something I'd recommend to anybody else. It is pretty painful. And also I'm kind of at that stage in my sporting career where I'm involved in the administration. So I've raised a fair bit of money across the way. So I'm pleased to say that I've raised 150 grand for the sports club, which we've put to use with the complete refit of AstroTurf floodlights, which just got finished off yesterday. Last of the floodlights went in, so that's great. That will be a massive cash injection for the club. 30 grand on a tractor, which our beloved accountant actually, we got a 20 grand grant and our accountant turned that into a 30 grand tractor. So yes, if there are any accountants who do have any spare time, then your local sport clubs need you more now than ever before.
This is a podcast for largely accounting practitioners, and as I said at the start, it's in 138 countries now, with the predominant territories being the expected ones, UK, US and Australia. So presumably firms in any of those territories are firms that you can help in one way or another. So those listening to this who have made a decision to start having a conversation, where do they start? Where do they go to?
Yeah, so I'm reasonably active on LinkedIn, so that would be the best place to start. Yep, obviously any of the English-speaking countries that you mentioned are pretty good, but, I was lucky enough to spend 7 months working in Varna, Bulgaria. So if there are any Bulgarians, listening into the pod and want a bit of help, then my 20 words of Bulgarian can still be, put to good use.
Excellent. So LinkedIn, guys, to reach out to Dermot and to take that first step forward with a handholder to get to the next stage of the practice's development. Dermot, on that note, I want to thank you very much indeed for your time to be with us on Expert Interview today. And I look forward to hearing more about Langland Hammond's developments throughout the rest of this year and 2022.
This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast
with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.